Welcome to the HIV Hour. The HIV Hour is broadcast every first and third Thursdays at 7 p.m. It's repeated throughout the month. Check the Radio Reverb schedule on our website, which is radioreverb.com. We are broadcast on 97.2 FM in the Brighton area and on DAB Plus Radio. You can check out our social pages, our Twitter and Instagram. Our Instagram is at HIV_hour, and you can join our Facebook page at HIV Hour Reverb. You can also contact us by email on hivhour@gmail.com. And don't forget, you can listen and subscribe to our famous podcasts. Type in HIV Hour on Apple Podcasts, also available on Spotify and Deezer. To listen to the full HIV Hour show, go to the Radio Reverb website Listen Again page. The HIV Hour, positively helping to change hearts and minds.
Hello.
Hello there.
Good evening and welcome to another HIV Hour. How is everyone? Well done, David, for that.
Yes. Good, beautifully spoken.
Oh, thank you very much.
Beautifully.
Yes, yeah. It's better than that. I'm going...
I like a man with good diction.
Yes.
Good diction.
Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, it's not...
I mean, who's the one of the carpenters? The lady...
Karen Carpenter.
Karen, fantastic diction. Oh, her voice is velvet.
Beautiful.
I'm good. I'm now the proud granddaddy of four extra kittens.
Oh my God,
yes, that happened on Monday.
She's
night.
Dropped. My
teenage mum Astrid, she finally dropped them, and she's ever such a good mum. So yeah, that's been keeping me entertained for the last few days. How are you, Josh?
I'm not too bad, yes. What have I been up to? I always say this. I've been diagnosed with this. It's quite funny. Straight on to what I've been diagnosed. I've had a dodgy tumour for a while, so we've got to the bottom of it, and it's called pancreatic insufficiency.
Right.
Which is you're not producing any enzymes in your or enough enzymes when you eat fatty food.
Yeah.
So I've got to go on a low-fat diet.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And and take something called Creon, which I'm sure I don't
Creon.
Which I don't know if any listeners are doing that or taking it.
Isn't that a Doctor Who baddie?
It sounds like one. It should be one, shouldn't it? Creon.
Doctor Who and the Creons.
Yeah.
Creon, yeah.
And you draw with crayons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but the thing is, you have to take it with every single thing you eat. So snacks.
That's a new regime, isn't it?
It is. So I'm going to have to really think about it and.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's good to be that I've got a diagnosis.
Exactly.
So.
That's the main thing, isn't
just
it?
Just with HIV testing, it's good to know. It's always better to know, and then you can, you know, take control
manage
of it or
plan.
Manage it. Yeah, you can, can't you?
Yeah. What else? Got a bit of DJing work this week, which is great. Mm. But that's, again, we'll talk about that in the community news.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And your good self, Sue?
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you. Yes, no, had a nice weekend. I had a... my daughter, I think I might have mentioned it on last time's show, but my daughter had her baby shower last weekend. Absolutely, blooming.
Yeah.
And it was a lovely afternoon because we had the London Marathon, not the London this weekend, isn't it, marathon, but we had the Brighton Marathon last weekend, didn't we? So it was in the afternoon. It was beautifully sunshine. And
it was lovely.
Yeah, it was lovely. So that was, and I went to see a show on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. One of the Goss brothers. Do you remember Bross?
Matt and Luke,
Yeah. He was fantastic. He's doing all the big band sounds.
Yeah, is he the one that did Vegas?
He's come back to the UK and it was packed, I've seen a couple of Brighton faces then. Mm. I went with my friend Sarah. We had a lovely evening.
Oh,
and so a nice weekend. Now I'm exhausted.
Well, it's Easter coming up now, so it's Easter weekend, so we kind of... Have you got your eggs?
No, I haven't got none.
I've put some around the studio, so we'll have to do a little
Easter.
Oh,
yeah, I'm going to pinch that one and put that in my very large bag on the way out.
So there's a mini egg somewhere.
Ooh.
I had a bag of mini eggs and I had one. Oh, yeah, they're running for it now. They're all
it's
not over there, I know. What we got on the show today?
Well, I'm going to be talking about the Dusseldorf patient, and you're wondering... What is she talking about? Well, I'm just...
What are you on about, Sue?
I know. The Dusseldorf patient. Basically, it's a German man. Apparently, he's been cured of HIV with stem cells.
Right, right.
Yeah, so I'm going to be having a little sort of...
Amazing.
Chat about that and seeing what's all that about.
Yeah. I'll be interviewing Jonathan Roberts, who's a nurse at the Lawson Unit, has been working in A&E.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's good. Well, it's good to get all that across, isn't it, about the A&E testing. It's really important. And I'd be just having a... There's a controversial migration bill that the government are putting through, so it's dealing with the stopping the small boat crossings, but it brings up a lot of other things like health issues and people with HIV and getting their medicine, so we're just going to have a chat about that and, and things. So. And also community news. For Easter, for Easter bank holiday, because it starts... I suppose it starts tonight, because it's Thursday, isn't it?
Welcome back to the HIV Hour. You've been listening to So Hard, So Hot by Alison Goldfrapp. Last week, I interviewed Jonathan Roberts about his work in A&E testing for HIV.
HIV Hour is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.
Hi there, I'm delighted to be joined by Jonathan Roberts, who listeners may remember we last interviewed with Dr. Amanda Clark, and we were talking about injectable HIV treatments. So hello, Jonathan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, David, thanks for inviting me back.
Oh, great. So just to remind listeners, what is your sort of role and job title at the moment?
So I've kind of got a bit of a dual role at the moment. So I'm Senior HIV Screening Coordinator, so that is something that we're going to talk about today. And also I'm a specialist nurse, so a clinical nurse specialist in HIV care.
Right, and that's based here at the Lawson Unit in Brighton.
That's right, yeah.
Right. So so we've come to talk to you today about HIV testing, haven't we? And so what have you been doing that is different to what you'd normally do here in clinic?
Okay, so in April 2022, HIV screening became a process within the Royal Sussex County Hospital A&E department. So all of those over the age of 16 who present to the A&E department would be offered HIV testing as part of their routine care. So that's something that has happened for since, as I say, April 2022, and that's an ongoing process. So there's no definitive end date. So we've actually added in Hep C as well, just literally this this month, March 2023, that started to include Hep C testing as well as HIV testing.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. So, and that's just not, that doesn't happen just in Brighton, does it? Does it happen elsewhere?
Yeah. So it happens in quite a lot of areas of high prevalence of HIV infection. So they've mainly within NHS England at the moment, they're sort of looking at areas of high prevalence. So lots of London hospitals are doing it, and other big cities like Manchester, Blackpool, other areas of the country where the prevalence of HIV is over a certain percentage, so, and therefore screening would seem...
Where you'd find a lot of HIV, because I suppose it doesn't, you know, if you're in a really rural area, it's you're less likely to come across HIV. But obviously HIV affects everybody.
Yeah, I mean, there are plans ahead to maybe offer it to all A&E departments. Mm. That's the kind of push now, is now that we've offered it to the high prevalence areas, that maybe we should be taking it to other areas of the country where we wouldn't necessarily... The prevalence of HIV might not be as high as places like Brighton. Mm.
And that's interesting what you said about you've added sort of time onto this, because I thought that this was a trial, but it seems that that's not the case.
No, I mean, we did do some trial about 10-15 years ago where people that were being admitted to the via the A&E department to the Royal Sussex were involved in a Department of Health project there, where we would then go around and offer HIV testing for those that had been admitted. So it's kind of something that has happened in Brighton within the A&E department in the past, but it sort of only re-established itself in April of last year.
Right, so that was for new inpatients, so people staying.
So people staying, so being actually being admitted rather than those that just attended A&E.
Yeah, so everybody that presents at A&E, so that's... So people that don't normally have sort of health problems or niggling problems, or might just have an accident, a sprain or something like that, you know, they probably don't see their GP for months or, you know, perhaps even years. So not until they sort of start presenting with sort of symptoms as we would recognise them that they would maybe even consider having an HIV test.
Yeah, and then that's exactly why they're sort of implementing this type of testing within that kind of area, is because they're often people that might not go to their GPs, as you say, for many years, because they're fit and healthy, and they might come in for something completely unrelated to HIV infection, or something, as you say, like a road traffic accident, where they'd be routinely tested for HIV. So it's kind of, the process is that they would attend the A&E department. It's implied consent rather than informed consent. So there are posters everywhere saying that we're now testing for bloodborne viruses, i.e. Hep C and HIV, whereas before, prior to March of this year, it was just HIV testing.
Right.
So it's up to the healthcare professional to say that they're having that test, or for that person to say, okay, well, look, they're screening for HIV, I'm okay with that. So it's all an opt-out rather than an opt-in. So if you don't want to have that test, you then tell the healthcare professional to do that.
Yeah. And so how many people have been refusing or not choosing not to opt in? Refusal is probably
the
word.
In fact, the decline rate is pretty low. Yeah. So, you know, we're quite sort of surprised at that. So from the point of view of... we probably get, on a weekly basis, about 10 declines. So that's when they're going to do blood tests for other various things. They'll put a decline on the box that's being should be ticked for an HIV test. So the proportion is not even 1% of those people that we've tested. Right. So
I was going to ask about, because obviously accidents and emergencies, you may get a road traffic accident patient who's not communicative. Yeah. So what do you do if someone cannot communicate?
Yeah, so from that point of view, theoretically, that could be a decline. But if the person feels that, I mean, that they're in the department for a longer period of time and they've seen posters, then that would be by default an implied consent that they're in the department. This is what we do routinely, and therefore your blood will be taken for that type of testing unless you decline. So it is a bit of a contentious one.
Yeah. So remind me again, when did you start doing this?
So it started in April 2022, last year. And in that time, we've done 25,340 tests.
Wow.
Some of those tests have been consented but not been processed, because when they come through the department, a second blood sample needs to be taken. So routinely, anyone that has a blood test, so it also has to be anyone that has a blood test that attends the department. So if they're not having blood tests, then we wouldn't take a blood test from them specifically for the HIV test. It's blood tests that's already been taken.
Yeah, I was going to ask, what is the process? So somebody's given consent, what happens?
So basically, when they come through the A&E department, they normally have a cannula put in and blood samples taken, and then at that point, they're tested for HIV. Those samples, hopefully if they take two samples, one sample will go to our sister department at the Princess Royal Hospital and be processed for the HIV test. And then they report back to us the next day normally, or if it's over a weekend on the Monday morning, the results of those tests. So they're either negative, unprocessed, unlabeled, or reactive. So the reactive HIV tests are the ones that we often then have to look into and find out, are they known to be positive already? Are they engaged in care? Because that's another important part of this project, to find out if they're engaged in care or not engaged in care. And if they're not known to be positive, we sort of find out why they're not engaged in care, if that's the case. And then those ones that we don't know about regarding their true status, then we will invite them to come into the sexual health clinic here at the Royal Sussex County Hospital for a test. So from that point of view, the majority of reactive tests have been people known to be living with HIV. So that's quite difficult sometimes, phoning people up and saying, look,
you may be.
Yes. Yeah. So that's quite. But then once you've sort of looked at possible risk factors and then reassured them about access to care and treatment, and that living with HIV, you know, doesn't equal a death sentence, people might think.
As viewers know, it is much better to know, because then you can make steps to having a positive future living with HIV and taking control.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because obviously the government and the HIV Commission are trying to end all new transmissions by 2030. So this is hopefully goes
well. Yeah, and we know from
finding undiagnosed.
Yeah, and we know that in Brighton there's approximately 110 people living with HIV that are unaware of their status.
Really? 100 people in Brighton, which is, let's say the population, the greater population of greater Brighton, is like 250,000 roughly. 100 people undiagnosed, which means those people are not on treatment.
Yeah, and potentially, as you said, more...
Probably, more than likely, you've got a high viral load.
Possibly, yeah. And passing on to partners,
That's quite alarming, really. But
I think it's quite... Because we're so sort of proactive in Brighton with, you know, places like Terence Higgins Trust, and GPs being very proactive in testing and other departments in the hospital. It does seem quite high, doesn't it?
But then again, we do have quite a transitory population. Obviously, we have a lot of young people coming in from, like, you know, we have a student population of probably nearly 50,000 people. So, you know, there are people that are coming in from the home counties and you know, from the other nations of the union.
Yeah.
That, you know, they come into an area which is, you know, full of
gay men and people that like having lots of fun. Mm-hmm. Anything surprised you doing this since April last year? It's just,
I mean,
just
think
under a year, hasn't it?
I think the, one of the things that kind of sort of surprises me is that kind of process of contacting someone with a reactive test, and after relaying information and reassurance and getting them in very quickly to do a finger prick test and then obviously do a blood test to confirm what that test result is, that kind of process has been very slick, and people have been really acceptable about it. So we've not had much sort of negative feedback from people that have had reactive tests, or indeed the testing initiatives in the hospital, which is, I think, is really good because, again, you know, and I know that there's still a lot of stigma out there and around HIV testing. Yeah. That some people are like, you know, why are you testing for HIV? I don't identify as this, that, or the other.
So, out of the sort of positive results of any sort of buck the trend, or
so. I mean, interestingly, we've had one female, white UK-born female, who's tested positive, and then two men who have sex with men but wouldn't necessarily identify as gay men,
right?
Or not maybe even bisexual men, but have had episodes where they've had sex with men. So, not the classic, you know, people that we would probably, if we were doing a risk assessment, think, which I know, you know, obviously anyone can be affected with HIV, you know, when we look at the people where the highest prevalence is, they might identify more as gay men or black African people, you know, those people that might have risk factors that we sort of traditionally kind of look at.
Yeah, obviously every city is different. So in Brighton we have a particular mix of people, so we don't want to stereotype people.
That's exactly what it's done with these three new diagnoses, not necessarily these people that you would have presumed initially to be high risk.
It's a difficult thing to ask, really. I mean, obviously we can't identify people. Do you think those people were grateful to... That's a real thing. Are you grateful for having a disease? But are they grateful to know that they can take control?
I've been fortunate to follow these people up. So two out of the three I've been followed up. One's a relatively new diagnosis, so my colleague is following that person up. But the two people are very, you know, praising of the A&E department. They did the test.
Yeah.
All three of them are on treatment, so that's good for them and their partners. And they're very complimentary about the staff, not just in the A&E department, but here in the Lawson unit where they're access care. So we've been really kind of lucky with the positive response. We've had not any negative response from those three people, and minimal negative response from the initiatives going on. So I think that's really surprising.
And in the A&E department as well, you know, people aren't sort of...
No, I mean, there's been one formal... You know, you think we've started since April 2022, and there's been one sort of formal report of, you know, sort of saying that why were they tested for this infection when they weren't aware. However, it wasn't just about that. It was about their care within the department. So, you know, it's sort of... It was part of some a wider sort of picture about how their care was perceived within the A&E department.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about what you're doing?
I mean, I think it's really quite exciting about the Hep C. So we're working really closely with the Hep C department or hepatitis, you know, the virology as the department as well. And the processes of the testing are becoming more refined with Hep C coming on board. So thankfully, we'll be able to reduce that number of people that we have to phone unnecessarily saying they've got a reactive test, because we'll have more sensitive tests. After the initial test is done, it will then be sent for a more sensitive test immediately, as the Hep C pathway has sort of shown that that's sort of working in the last couple of weeks. So that's quite exciting that we'll be then able to focus on, as I said, some of the other aspects of the training, the unprocessed samples, and try and encourage the staff just to test a bit more if they can.
Because hepatitis C is perfectly treatable now, whereas it never used to be.
No.
And can be very damaging as well.
So a lot of side effects, from the treatment initially. That's sort of the length of time that you're on treatment is reduced considerably. So, you know, it's a good sort of prognosis as well, because you can clear Hep C. So, you know, that point of view is really
makes
good.
Your HIV treatment.
Again, if you're co-infected.
More tolerable, doesn't it?
That'll be sort of really interesting going forward. And then I hope the plan is maybe to add on hepatitis B.
Right.
In the
future.
Quite
an alphabet of hepatitis, yes. I believe. Yeah.
So that's quite exciting. But and I think it's just showing how the pathology department, the A&E department, the sexual health clinic, and the hepatology services are all working together. Mm. So it's not just, you know, us as the HIV or sexual health department, it's actually engaging a lot of people from many different departments.
Working together. Well, it's been lovely hearing from you, Jonathan. I look forward to hearing...
Thanks for coming along.
...results in future. Maybe by 2030, you'll be getting no results at all.
Yes.
But 25,000 in less than a year, I mean, that's fantastic going. I believe you're going to the Beaver conference with Josh. And Beaver, for listeners that don't know, is the British HIV Association. When's the conference?
So the conference is on the 24th of April, late April.
Yeah.
So I think Josh is obviously speaking, I think he's speaking about his experiences about injectables.
Yeah.
And then I'm just going along about my experiences of starting people on treatments, really, and non-injectables, that is.
Thank you very much, Jonathan.
No worries.
Hi, if you've just tuned in, this is the HIVR on Radio Reverb 97.2 FM in the Brighton area, .com online. That was Unity by Roy Scops, I think I've said that right, and Karen Harding. Now then, as introduced in the beginning of the show, the Dusseldorf patient, what is she going on about, you're probably thinking? Well, it's about a German man cured of HIV with stem cells. Now, stem cell transplants are not being proposed as treatment for HIV, but this case and a handful of others offering promising confirmation that HIV is not entirely curable. Now, we've had very similar stories like this before, haven't we, guys?
Mm. Yes, you know, yes, we have. Yeah. So there have been other patients. Was it the Brussels patient, the Manchester patient?
Yeah, so there's been a few. So basically, let's have a look at this. So in Germany, a now 53-year-old man was diagnosed with HIV and learned he was virus-free, receiving HIV-resistant stem cells through a bone marrow transplant that was intended to treat leukemia. Okay, so the patient was diagnosed to be HIV plus one, clad B positive, in January 2008 and presented with a CD4 plus T cell count of 964 cells per UL, whatever that is, and a HIV plus one plasma viral load of 12850 copies. Now, the individual underwent a transplant in 2013. There's strong evidence that he's been cured. So the man has been part of a study. I was going to think, has he been part of a study? He's been part of a study by a team at the University Hospital Dusseldorf. I love that saying that word. I say that so well, don't I?
Say it again.
Dusseldorf. Led Bonjour, and I'm going to go right into German. I love that, I know German. Bonjour Eric Olsen, which destroyed the patient's cancerous bone marrow cells and replaced them with donor cells that lacked CCR5, the receptor that HIV particles, whatever that is, used to infect cells. Now, the individual was enrolled as a patient number 19 in the study, and over a period of 5 years, the research team collected tissues and blood samples from the patient and continued to find immune cells that specially reacted to HIV, which suggested that a reservoir remained somewhere in the man's body. Right, what are you guys thinking of this?
Could you say that? Could you say that again? Because a lot of information. No, I'm joking.
Well, it's great news for the patient.
Yes, it is.
I think from the other patients as well, and the Dusseldorf, reminds me of the word duffelcoat, but the Dusseldorf patient, these people were very ill with cancer.
Exactly.
Really being cured of HIV was a byproduct of their cells. You have to be quite near death and have virtually zero immune system anyway to have this treatment. So it's not... at the moment, although it is successful and it's fantastic, successful for these people, it's not a recommended therapy because there are severe dangers of the patient could die in the process. But great. I mean, I know we do know that HIV lives in these reservoirs in the body. So although, you know, the three of us are taking our antiretroviral therapies that have suppressed the virus so that it can't be detected in our system, scientists and doctors do know that we do have HIV lurking away in our certain reservoirs in our body, which... it's still there, but, yeah. And that's it's the hard to reach parts, which makes treating HIV or curing HIV nigh on impossible unless you're doing these bone marrow transplants. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Josh?
But this is why when we're getting older as well, we need that kind of that support, don't we? And that, mm-hmm. those studies to look at as we get older, how do we progress, and these little reservoirs that can affect give us more different infections and stuff. So it's great with the stem cell, but as you say, if you have to be close to death with other like cancer or something, it's a good
thing.
It's
high risk.
It is high risk.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Would you do it? I mean, if you
go through that process point? To get rid of my HIV, well, I don't know.
If I was being treated for cancer, yes, absolutely.
Yes, I mean, obviously, because if cancer's sort of
But if my HIV isn't putting me at danger of death, I don't want to go through a procedure which could put me through danger of death to get rid of the HIV.
Exactly.
So, and listeners, you know, my HIV is not a problem for me. So, you know, it's not
it's managed. It's controlled.
Yeah.
I'm in control of it.
Yeah.
It's not in control of me, so I manage that. You know, so yeah.
I mean, I know some people who are getting certain things like tumours and stuff because of these reservoirs. So it's a difficult one to know, isn't it? I mean, I do think about getting older with HIV, and I think I worry a little bit. I do worry a little bit about it.
We're now going into a new era of ageing, the ageing population, you know, people now, even diagnosed now with HIV, will go on into very much later on in life, you know, 30, 40, whatever, you know, that's the expectancy now. So, and I think that's what a lot of the studies now are, where, you know, it's a new dynamics. I mean, 40 years ago, David, we didn't think that people would still be still living.
No.
But, and so it's everything's been thrown in a quandrum, you know, okay. And so we're now having to put, you know, we have some of the highest population, don't we, David, living in Brighton, the older population living with HIV.
Over 50% of people living with HIV in Brighton are over the age of 50. And that's reflected in other cities like London as well.
Exactly.
So it's good. I mean, it's great. It's good. But
it's good. I mean, they're all positive things, you know.
It is. And, you know, we can't. The medication's amazing, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And Sue, did you say this patient was treated in 2008?
Yes.
So that's quite a few years ago now. I mean, that's good, you know, 15 years ago. So probably around the world they're monitoring other patients who have gone through similar things. So the more they learn about it, the more they can learn about how to eradicate HIV completely from the body.
Final cure.
It's great news.
Mm-hmm. It is, yes. So my story is a UK story. It's MPs are debating the controversial illegal migration bill. You heard of that?
It's very controversial,
They've warned that the lack of provision for those receiving treatment for HIV and AIDS would effectively be a death sentence. Mm. So devised to stop small boat crossings, the bill has come under intense scrutiny for its potential to send LGBTQ+ refugees to countries where they will be prosecuted and possibly sentenced to death. If made law, the legislation would see all adults who arrive in the UK after crossing the Channel or in the back of a lorry detained for 28 days, they would be then sent back to their country of origin or a third state, such as Rwanda, because it's been in the news. So on Tuesday, which the bill was debated in the House of Commons for a second day, with Scottish National Party MP Alison Thewlis tabling several amendments to humanise this brutal bill and make it more palatable. What do you think about that?
To make it more palatable.
Well, if people are fleeing persecution, then they have a right to asylum under, I think, international law, I believe. Yeah. You know, the government tries to paint them as economic migrants, don't they? Which is not always the case. If you're under the threat of execution or being stoned or thrown off a cliff for your sexuality, then I would say that you're fleeing persecution and have a right for your asylum claim to be considered.
The Glasgow Central MP described the legislation as, I don't know what this means, so egregious. What's egregious?
Egregious. Nasty.
Yeah, has to be unamendable and unsupportable. So basically, Yeah, it's too much. It's too nasty to even amend it.
That's what they're saying. Yeah, writing it from scratch.
So among the proposed exemptions are children trafficked to the UK, Afghan nationals, those persecuted for their sexuality, victims of torture, and people with HIV and AIDS.
Mm. Right, okay.
So that's quite
better.
That's better.
And I've learnt more about it, but yeah.
Well, it's just a hard law anyway, isn't it? It's a difficult one.
So are they proposing to test everybody for HIV as they enter the country?
It doesn't say, actually, David.
To achieve the 2030 targets of eradicating all new HIV infections, it might be suggested that everybody that wants to settle here should be tested for HIV, with no judgment, but just so that they can get onto treatment and then unwittingly passing it on to other people when they arrive here.
Well, that's one of the things, isn't it? That's one of the things, isn't it?
You can't force people to test, though, unfortunately.
Yeah. But if you've got medication, it's not available, or you get sent to somewhere that the HIV medication isn't available, then that affects your health, doesn't it?
Yes, of course.
It's an interesting one. They mentioned is they exempt people who have HIV and AIDS, and the bill puts them at risk of not receiving treatment, as I just said, or of being returned to a country where they would face stigma, risk, and potential death. These amendments follow extensive debate from the previous day, where the Thulis, I think I've got that name, man, told Parliament that she had under several constituency cases where people receiving HIV and AIDS treatment have their condition under control, but the government cannot guarantee that they will be able to continue their treatment if they are deported to another country. Returning to a country where the condition cannot be managed is tantamount to a death sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, treatment failure can lead to catastrophic circumstances, can't it?
Yeah.
The SNP MP outlined that the National AIDS Trust highlighted the case of a person who was detained at Harmansworth Immigration Removal Centre and denied access to the medication and how they needed to take it. So, one to watch, I think.
Yes, I think so.
Yes. Mm. So, welcome back to the HIV Hour, 97.2 FM and RadioReverb.com online. Community news. That was Jamiroquai and Canned Heat. Mm. We've got some community news, haven't we? And I think you're first.
We have. Yeah. Are you ready for some Easter fun?
Oh yes, please.
No, yeah. I'm not.
You
no.
are. You are. Oh, is good.
Yeah, chocolate Easter eggs.
Yeah, well, we haven't found the one in the studio yet.
Yeah, we did.
I've eaten it.
Yeah, why not join the boys right now from the Brighton Bear Weekend, and they're currently at the Camelford Arms this evening for their annual Easter quiz. And you could stand a chance to win a whopping £300 in tax-free cash. Mm-hmm. This event will support local HIV charity the Sussex Beacon and also the Brighton Rainbow Fund, which funds other HIV charities.
Yes.
Both great causes. Now, the Brighton Bear Weekend are excited to extend a special invitation to furry friends, bears, otters and cubs, but everybody is welcome whether you have fur or not.
Nice.
Yes.
Well, what's an otter?
An otter is a slim bear.
Oh, okay. I know the otters that go in gay land,
if you are a slim, hairy person, you're an otter.
Right. I didn't know that.
If you're a chubby, hairy person, you're a cub.
I learn something every time. And
then if you're a big, hairy bear, imagine bears, yeah.
Is Gayland the new amusement park down the road? Gayland.
Gayland. Now, not only will there be great prizes, but there will also be a raffle with a hamper from Chris Sarson, funeral director, and the prizes will be donated from the Sussex Beacon and Mike Quinn. So, the Brighton Bay Weekend, say, we recommend booking a table, even better, booking a dinner beforehand, so you can make a night of it. The quiz starts at 9 p.m. sharp, so as soon as this show is finished, you get yourselves down there and be sure to arrive as early as possible to secure your spot for the quiz. Come and join them for a fantastic evening of entertainment and socialising with like-minded people, and they can't wait to see you there.
Fair enough, that's good.
What else is going on, Josh? I believe you've got something to do with this.
So after that, at 10 o'clock, is something I'm connected to. It's called Disco Moon, and that's above Charles Street Tap, and that's Marine Parade in Brighton. So it's a club night organised by Alzara, who's been on the show, and he's a good friend, and yeah, mm-hmm. he's done a good job, actually. He's getting people together to just have a good night. And this, again, is for the Sussex Beacon and the Brightonborough Rainbow Fund.
Okay.
So there's live PAs, one from Alzara, myself, and Quentin, who've got some new material out, which I think they're going to be singing that on the night. DJs are Oxy Lion, I hope I've got that right, Oxy Lion and Dulcy Danger. Gary Scott, who organises Worthing Pride.
Oh, right.
So he's coming over. Kincaid, who's the Head Candy's, one of his, he's the resident of Head Candy now. So,
right.
Yeah, so Grant Knowles and myself. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, all for a great cause. Tickets on the door, if you haven't got any already, it's £12. So please do come down and support us. It's going to be a fun night. So that's
it's a good cause as well.
It is a good cause, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sue?
Yeah, about HIV and STI testing from THT Booking Online. So for HIV and STI testing, Monday to Friday, 10 till 5 p.m. PEP to you, Monday and Thursday afternoons. Trans and non-binary HIV STI testing, Tuesday and Wednesday. Go to Tinurl, that's TinURL.com, THT Brighton Book Online. Also, direct.tht.org.uk Brighton, and follow links to Book Online. Phone 01273 764 200.
Fabulous.
And, we were speaking to, I was interviewing Jonathan Roberts earlier on, but unfortunately, some bad news come from the Lawson unit. They've been informed that the proposed move from the clinic into the new, brand new state of the art Louisa Martindale building that was due to start in April has been delayed until the end of May. It's a big move, it's a big, very big complex hospital, and there are a number of reasons for this, but the primary reason is that the building management system needs to be commissioned. So the Lawson unit say that they will contact all patients closer to the date and when a final date has been confirmed. But if you do have any questions regarding the move, and if you're unsure about anything or have any questions, you can phone them on 01273 664 722.
You can go to the website as well, isn't it? Which I think is brightonsexualhealth.org.uk, I think. There's a section for clinics.
Search Lawson Unit Brighton, you'll find it.
So also, this is CGL, which is Change, Grow, Live. And that provides tailored drug and alcohol support to adults in Brighton and Hove who identify as LGBTQ+. And they offer a one-to-one support recovery service, online face-to-face groups, and that helps to motivate and support you to address any substance misuse you might have, or you just want to talk to someone about things that are going on. So you can contact them. Actually, they go down to Lunch Positive. I know that they do that sometimes. Mm,
they do, yeah.
And so Lunch Positive is on tomorrow as well, so we'll give them details in a minute.
Hmm.
Let's just give you this. Sorry, I have to turn the page. If you want to contact them, you can self-refer or someone else by using their online form. So go to their website, which I'm trying to look for.
So it's Change, Grow, Live, isn't it? Search for those terms in Brighton and you'll probably come and find the website link.
Thank you, David. or you can contact them by phone on 01273 731 900. And that's Monday to Friday, 9 till 5. And actually on Thursdays, it's till 7 p.m. Or you can register in person at their office, which is Richmond House, Richmond Road. So I mean, we've got a lot of services and support, haven't we?
Which
is great. We're really lucky in this town.
We are very
fortunate,
I have to say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was just saying, Lunch Positive is on tomorrow, mm-hmm. and that's their usual Friday
lunch. They got something special going on for Easter, or not necessarily? Still just as brilliant as whatever? No.
I haven't checked, actually, to be honest with you, but normally they announce things on their Facebook page, just Facebook for Lunch Positive.
And it's lunchpositive.org.uk.
Your website, yeah.
Yeah, so it's got all their uh-huh. services on there. So, I mean, they do a lot of stuff, don't they? I was just saying that Kenny Everett died this time yesterday.
Kenny Everett, it's the anniversary of his death, and he was...
30 years, was it?
Oh, I don't know how many years, I should have checked, really. But, I mean, he was very adamant about his status, and he died of HIV-related conditions. Back in the day, it was called AIDS, wasn't it?
Yes,
of course.
It was.
Yeah.
But a great champion, and he sort of lived life to the full, and a good example to people to follow if you're a bit zany.
It's so funny watching his. What was the thing you showed me, David?
Oh, I mean, yeah, he had quite a few characters. I mean, so there was Cupid Stunt, who was a blonde bombshell actress, wasn't she? There was a mod or a punk, was it? Gizzard Puke?
Yeah, what was the one with the long legs that you showed me?
Oh, Very to Treacle. I go away with Jeremy Treacle. Just like a Reader's Letters thing. And there was Marcel. Was a Frenchman. He had a fake... You know, but people know actors wear a fake beard. Well, because Kenny Everett already had a beard.
Yeah.
For this character, the French guy, he had a fake chin to cover his beard, which looked very odd, but it was funny.
It was so good, wasn't it?
Yeah, that time. 1980. Yes. It pushed the boundaries.
It did, actually. Yeah, you knew that.
Yeah, because there was a dance troupe called Legs & Co, weren't they? And there was very... Some people used to complain about the suggestive dancing.
Yes.
That's my favourite kind.
I used to love those.
Yeah.
Oh, reminisce. So just to say that we're going to bring back HIV hour stories, which are just small. Well, it's the interviews with individual people talking about their story. We used to do them before COVID, I think. We've done about three, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of looking for people who maybe want to tell their story and get it out on the podcast. It probably won't be on the show, but it'll be on extra on the our podcast link. So if you're interested, you can email us at hivhour@gmail.com.
Yes, we'd love to hear your story, wouldn't we?
Yeah. We would.
So I know you've got some people interested, don't you, Sue, for Positive Voices?
Yes, yeah. I've got quite a few people from Positive Voices that would like to come and share their story and hopefully maybe take part. So that's all very exciting.
Yeah, and recently we had Jay Colburn from America, didn't he? He had a book called A Normal Person Doing Normal Things, and that was his story about his life.
I think people enjoy listening to people's experiences, especially from the early days as well.
Yes.
So it's just trying to get that across and when we can. And if people just want to listen to it, just those stories, and they get a lot out of it. So. Yes. So do you know what? You know what I'm going to say?
Is it time for another song?
No, it's time for the end. We've come to
time for the end.
Oh, no. I was enjoying myself.
I know.
Oh.
Well, you can,
I want to carry on.
You can carry on by looking for that egg.
Yes.
I'll close the door.
Carry on, Sue. Is that a film?
Yeah. Cannot carry on camping. Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Carry on this, that, and the other, isn't it?
So, thank you for tuning in.
Yes.
I'm going to just ignore these two.
Yeah.
run off the. All right.
Anyway, happy Easter, everyone.
Happy Easter.
Take
care,
everybody.
We're back with the rest of the crew, Stephen and Tony.
Lovely.
Yeah, nice.
So, have a good weekend.
Cheerio.
Enjoy your Easter. And this is.
HIVR is the UK's only show for people living with HIV, sharing stories, news and views on living positively with the virus.